And now we have Kara Connors.
Thanks.
My name is Kara Connors. I'm an education consultant working for Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center in Dartmouth Medical School. While I once did live in Concord, Massachusetts, I now live just outside San Francisco in Corte Madera. You may not have known this, but this is my launch party for our website. Just up until about 2 days ago, we were putting the finishing touches on the website. Many of you received a copy of this door hanger, and I'll make sure at the end of my presentation to put more out at the back table in case you don't have one. I'd like to also acknowledge our funder, Pfizer, for an unrestricted educational grant to support the development of the No Smoking Room. What I'd like to do today is provide an overview of the Pediatrics and Practice Initiative, which the No Smoking Room is a part of, describe the rationale for the development of the site, and identify different considerations for web-based health interventions for young girls, describe the No Smoking Room, and then outline some next steps following the launch of the site. The rationale for the development of the No Smoking Room is quite clear, and many of you are probably familiar with some of the dire statistics related to girls and women in smoking. One out of every five high school girls smoke. It's the leading known cause of preventable death and disease among women. Females have been less successful at quitting. Tobacco use by pregnant women causes morbidity associated with low birth weight babies and preterm deliveries. And secondhand smoke causes an estimated 3,000 lung cancer deaths among non-smokers each year. We believe that the internet is an effective intervention for pediatric health. Today, more than 25 million kids ages 2 to 17 are online in America. Now, I don't know how many two-year-olds are online by themselves being unsupervised, but if you know them, then that's a different intervention we must undertake. But why is the internet such an effective tool for communicating with young people? Well, it's accessible. It can be responsive in the sense that the site can be tailored specifically to the population that you're trying to reach. It's self-directed. It can often happen in the with adults or not with adults, and they can use a site the way that would be more responsive to them. It's private. It's broad-reaching. It can reach multiple audiences at the same time. And it also fosters social networking and social support. It's also quite cost-effective. So we believed that we could design a strategy to connect physicians and other health professionals with the patient, using a model of virtual reinforcement in smoking prevention and cessation. So Pediatrics in Practice, which is featured in the blue circle, hosts a variety of curriculum modules around health promotion for pediatricians and other health professionals. So we just recently launched three modules to help the healthcare provider better counsel young girls around smoking prevention and cessation using a family-centered model. And through that experience in the counseling session, we provide or would like to get into the hands of physicians these door hangers to better direct young girls to a website to support their knowledge and behavior as it relates to their own health. So in order to develop this website, we conducted a variety of focus groups. In the Northeast, so Bloomington, Indiana, Boston, Connecticut, Bowling Green, Kentucky, and I'll talk a little bit about who are in those focus groups in a minute. But the purpose of the focus groups were really to understand girls' perception of smoking. We felt that we understood why. We feel like the literature provided enough information to help us understand why they smoke. But what are some of their perceptions of smoking? We didn't anyway, understand girls' perceptions of smoking, identify factors that influence a smoke-free life. How do they, what are some factors that would help inform them to make a healthy decision to live smoke-free? Understand the role of the internet in educating girls about the risks of smoking, and then to collect feedback on desired site components, ranging from the look, the feel, the name, and the content. So our focus groups consisted of these four groups, again, in Connecticut, Boston, Bloomington, Indiana, and Bowling Green. We made outreach with community health centers and Girls Inc. sites. And the groups were quite diverse, whether it was socioeconomic status or ethnic and racial backgrounds, and as well as smoking history. A lot of the girls that we spoke with knew or lived with people who were smokers. They did not reveal whether they smoked or not, but they were very clear that many people in their homes had smoked. As part of our focus group questions, we started off with icebreakers. And the facilitator presented advertisement boards, trying to learn more from the girls about what their reactions were when they saw the advertisements around smoking. So what comes to mind when you see these advertisements? A lot of them were models, you know, featured with Slim cigarettes, Marlboro cigarettes. So we wanted to see what their reaction was. It's not that we didn't care if they smoked or not, but we really wanted to find out from them. We didn't want to put them, obviously, on the spot. We wanted to try and get them to speak as openly as possible with us. So whether you smoke or not, including experimenting with cigarettes, what will help you to not smoke? We would also like to know what you like or dislike about these websites. We provided different examples of websites that were health interventions, and asking them what they would change. A lot of those sites focused on smoking. We also asked the girls to create their ideal website to help other girls live smoke-free. And then as part of this process, we wanted to try and recruit as many girls to join our advisory group to help us continue in this process of developing a youth-centered, responsive site. So the girls came up with some really beautiful websites. They were really detailed, they cared, they wanted to make sure that a message got out so that they could help other girls live smoke-free. And in this case, a lot of the girls drew pictures of characters, a character that they could relate to. And so in this particular website, this young girl wrote a picture of Tina, and she had fun and games with her, including facts. And above her head, she says, smoking is not cool. Her menu bar had facts about smoking, bike races where you would have games, helping you to say no to smoking. And then this one had a password and a username to create a fashion outfit. Here was another website. This girl called her website www All About Girls. How can you get lung cancer? How can I stop smoking? Never start smoking. Don't smoke when you are pregnant. Smoke is not good for you. And so this girl also said, sign up. It's free. Quizzes. Play. Get the cigarettes out of her body. And this little girl, her character was Kenya. Hi, my name is Kenya. So some of the feedback, I mean, some of the websites that were designed were just brilliant. And the girls really care. They understand right from wrong. It concerns them when they see other people smoking. So from our focus group, some of the things that we learned to help the development of the site was that it was important for them to be able to communicate with family members and friends. Fun, but also facts were important to them. They wanted a site that speaks to them and knows where they are in life. Name recognition is important, so a website that would be easy for them to remember and to spell. Privacy is sacred with this group. Girls want to connect and play games, and they were very clear that not everything should be pink. So So we used two theoretical constructs to help us shape the development of the site along with the girls' voices. One was the cognitive behavioral construct as well as other social influence models. And so we tried to incorporate some of these concepts into the development of the website, establishing quit date, testing knowledge, tracking behavior under the social influence model, using public service announcements with role models, peer influence, and sharing stories of success. So this is our homepage at nosmokingroom.org. We have a poll on the lower left-hand corner that was designed by one of the advisory group girls, and that will rotate weekly. When you visit the website, you can click on the hearts, and if you click on one of the hearts, you'll find a fact. And if the girls collect 5 facts, they get an extra game to play. When you go to the girls' lounge, that is probably the most highly interactive feature, where the girls can create their own no smoking room with lamps and rugs and change things out. And then at the end, they can invite friends to a girls' night in and print it out and give it to a girlfriend. There's also e-cards where you can send an electronic message to somebody you care about to tell them to live smoke-free. We have an Ask an Expert section that will change periodically with our pediatrician, Dr. Hank Bernstein, and Dr. Sue Tansky at Dartmouth Medical School. So this is a copy of the page where girls can select a room. And so it says, first you need to choose a theme for your room. And they range from sport to princess to American Idol to the skulls. We plan after our lunch to get the word out as best that we can. And then we will go back to the Girls Inc. sites and other sites to get girls to complete an evaluation, to collect demographic information that reveals background information about the user, learn a recollection of what was presented in the site, satisfaction, not with the module, but with the site, and then evidence of youth's change in behavior. As part of our dissemination, we will go through physician groups, school-based groups, Girls Inc. sites, and again, we want to make sure that as many pediatricians and other health professionals are aware of this site to direct young girls to the No Smoking Room. And for more information, you can contact either Dr. Bernstein or myself, and again, I'll leave more door hangers at the back of the room. Thank you very much. I'm happy to take any questions. Yes. Who don't get on the internet. So, well, I mean, I think in terms of with so many users, are you talking about the digital divide with adults and kids, or?
I mean,
I think right now with so many youth that are on the internet these days, whether if they don't have access to a computer at home and they have one at school or a library, we felt that by looking at the data and the accessibility of computers, that enough children would be getting on where we could meet them where they are and provide the information as one way to complement what they might be learning, whether in the doctor's office, in school-based settings. So we didn't see that as too much of a concern. But again, we look at, and I didn't mention this as part of our dissemination, to again go out where the kids are, whether at MySpace or Facebook, or other web-based groups where kids are accessing frequently to get the word out. I don't know if that answers your question.
Can you hold your question, or is it real quick?
No, I was going to follow up. I think that's a very good question, because many kids, especially from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, they don't have access to the internet as readily. Mm-hmm. And I think the recommendation you were just implying happens to be a good one. Potentially, if you were to engage the schools, classes to the students of that particular age and make it part of their classwork assignment or homework.
Right.
Visit the site, so kids get exposed to it initially. That would be a very good venue for kids that otherwise don't have access at home.
Right. That's a very good point. That's an excellent point.
And also with the school libraries, well, with the public libraries.
Right.